I'm so excited to have you. Welcome to the live recording of the Own Your Genius podcast. I am your host, Attorney LaKonya Murray. I am the owner of Off the Mark IP Solution, which is a boutique intellectual property law firm that helps clients throughout the United States own their genius through trademarks, copyrights, and contracts. Today, we're going to do Murray's Law a little bit different. For those of you who are new, Murray's Law is our live Q&A session. We normally take questions and we just answer them. Now we're going to move, and we started this a little bit last year, but move into choosing one question so that we can go fully into it. So that's what the intent of today is. We have also changed the time. The time has been moved from the evening to the afternoon, and we're just going to play with it and see how it works out. But I'm just going to tell you all, for those of you who are new, I just want to tell you a little bit about who I am. So today you're here for how to protect your trademark before you launch. And this is me. I'm Attorney LaKonya Murray, licensed attorney. That's really important when we're talking about these trademark streets here. 12 years. I've been licensed 12 years. Time just went by. I remember when it was like getting my bar results. And now we've been practicing. I've been practicing for 12 years. And I've been the owner of Off the Mark IP Solutions for 11 years. And we've also founded a resource platform, a media platform. It's called Mark Legal. And on that platform, which is where you'll find the replay of this, if you're watching the replay and you can't make it live, if you want to review the content, you're going to be able to find all different types of resources, educational resources as it relates to the law. So outside of just what I do, we're going to have other content from other experts and as it relates to employment, you know, franchising, tax, all those things. So that's what Mark Legal is. But so today's agenda, keeping it simple, we're going to start off with the trademark basics. I had to cut the process out. If we have time, we'll talk about the process, and we're going to talk about how to protect before you launch, which is why you're here. And then what happens after registration? A lot of times we get so excited about having this trademark certificate, but what's next? And we need to talk about the what's next, because that actually is important as it relates to maintaining your protection throughout the years. So the basics. So first of all, if you look at this image on the left, you see a lot of different brands. Those brands represent different trademarks that are in the market. You see Coca-Cola, Samsung, Vogue, Hyundai, which my daughter, both of my daughters, they're teenagers. And they're like, Mom, how in the world did Honda? Now, actually, this is my middle child who's just turned 15 today. She's been looking at cars. Mind you, she turned 15, not 16. But she's like, how did Honda let Hyundai get away with, you know, using that name? It's so similar. Even the H, it's just slanted. And I said, I don't know. We should look into it. But just the fact that she had that awareness, and that's what I want you to be able to have once you leave this webinar today. I want you to be able to say, hey, that trademark is way too close to mine, and I need to do something. Or the name that I'm thinking about using is similar to someone else's, so maybe I should use something else. So those are some of the takeaways that I want you to have today. But trademarks, they protect, you know, brand identifiers. And brand identifiers are those things that help consumers identify the source of a good or a service. The source of a good or a service. And brand identifiers, they help you, you know, tell Hyundai from Honda in a perfect world. Right? Or Samsung from, what's the TV? Toshiba. You know, those are two different brands that do electronics. Brand identifiers look like name, logo, sound, smell, shape, and slogan. And I'm trying to pull this up on my iPad just so that I can see if there are any comments, because I have this open in another window. The whole purpose, you know, like, you're like, okay, that's great. These trademark brand identifiers, that's great, you know, but what's the purpose? What is the whole purpose of a trademark? The purpose of a trademark is that it allows the registered owner to prevent other people throughout the United States from using their same or similar trademark in the same or really related way. And that, I don't know about you, but for me, that's major. And it's limited to the United States, and it's not a blanket protection. And I want to make sure that you are aware that it's not a blanket protection, because I've had a lot of calls recently where people want to get a trademark, and they think that having that trademark is going to stop people, you know, throughout the United States, no matter what they're doing, from using this trademark. And that's not how it works. Your trademark protection is limited to how you use it. So if you are using the trademark, for instance, for art, then you wouldn't be able to prevent someone who's using it for a car wash from using that same or similar mark. Does that make sense? You can have brands that coexist. So if we think about Delta, we have Delta Airlines, and you have Delta, they do faucets. I've seen, we're remodeling our bathroom, and so you see the Delta faucets and things of that nature. And the reason they can coexist, if we go back to, let's see if I can go back. Yes. If we go back over here, it says same or related way. Because if we go back to our Delta example, the airlines is not related to bathroom fixtures. No one's going to go looking to buy tickets to Hawaii in Home Depot. I'm just saying. So that's something that you need to be aware of, is that your protection is limited to how you actually use it, which is going to be really important as we keep going in this conversation. And while we're here and we're talking about the basics, I want to make sure that you all understand the difference between trademarks and copyrights, because a lot of times people will interchange the two, or they will think that having one is the same as having the other. And the way that I'm going to explain it is using just pointing out what can be trademarked and what can be copyright in certain situations. So for a podcast, for example, when you have a podcast, the content is protected by copyrights. But the trademark, because if we go back to that list, it's a name, so it's identifying the source, it is protected by trademarks. If you have a course, the workbook and the videos, the content, the creation of it, the creative part of it, is protected by copyrights, while the name of it is protected by trademarks. And that goes the same as for blogs, and the same is for coaching program. So those things can be protected by trademarks. So again, you want to make sure that whatever you're using is identifying the source of a good or a service. If it does not do that, then it is not a trademark. So who qualifies? Who qualifies for trademark protection? Owner of a good or a service that's using the mark in commerce. And the mark has to be unique to the market. So you have three things. You need to have a checklist. And when you're going through your checklist and say, hey, is this a trademark? You know, am I using this the right way? Is it identifying the source of a good or a service? Yes. Is it available in commerce? And when we talk about in commerce, we mean available for use in multiple states. Available for use in multiple states. Not will be available, but is actually available in use in multiple states. And then unique to the market means that, going back to our Delta example, if there is, since we already have a Delta Airlines, we can't have another Delta something related to airlines or flight, because that wouldn't be unique to the market. When you're talking about trademark registration, you want to make sure that you are not using descriptive names. Your name does not have to tell people what you do. It does not. It does not have to tell people what you do. It can be suggestive, like in a playful way, but it doesn't, you don't have to be, what's the one that I see all the time? You know what? I was driving just in town the other day, and I seen two Montgomery aesthetic offices, and they're owned by two different people. They're both estheticians, and they have the same name. And they're literally descriptive, like, this is the city that we're in, and this is the service we provide. Cut it out. Cut it out. You remember Full House? Cut it out. Anywho. So don't use descriptive names. The other thing that you want to stay away from is using a trademark without making sure that it's available. We call that clearing the trademark because we do a clearance search. What we are looking for, are there any other names or logos that are similar to the one that you're trying to register? And I will tell you, it's more important now in 2023 than it was when I first started, when I opened my practice up 11 years ago. And the reason it's more important now is because more people are registering their trademarks, which means the likelihood of you having something that's similar to someone else, not even same, the likelihood of you having something similar to someone else increases. And I've had to tell too many people that they have to rebrand because they decided to go ahead and invest in branding before making sure that that trademark was available. And you can do both. You know, I've worked with graphic designers and brand strategists where they will come up with a brand strategy, a brand idea, and then they will run it by me to see if it's available before they move forward. And that's the way that I suggest that you do it. Like, don't just invest thousands of dollars in branding without making sure that the name is available. And the other mistake that people make is waiting to register your trademark. Like, for the same reason I just said, don't wait. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. Actually, let's talk about it now. Since you're not going to wait to register your trademark, the question that people want I know it's like, when do we register it? When's the best time to register your trademark? You do not have to wait until you make your first sale to register your trademark. You don't have to do that. I always tell people the first thing you want to do is validate your business idea. It's not a trademark, is not a domain. So when I have an idea for something, I would go out and buy the domain because it's like, you know, $10 or $11. But a trademark is not the same thing. I can buy that domain and sit on it while I decide whether or not I want to pursue what I'm doing. So I don't have to have an actual intent to use, right? But with trademarks, it's different because the investment is higher and because you actually have to use it in commerce before you can have the trademark, you want to make sure that you actually have a business idea that has been validated in the market that people want to buy this, that you're going to be willing to do what it takes to get this business off the ground. So you want to do your market research and things of that nature, because with any investment, you want to make sure you can get your money back. So once you've essentially done your business plan, you can, two things. One, a business plan. Two, be real with yourself. Are you really going to do the work that it takes to get this launched? I had a consultation and I asked her and she said, you know what? That's a good idea, you know, because I was so excited about this. I didn't even think about the work it's going to take to actually run the business. And do I really want to do all that? Sometimes we have a good idea. We come up with something catchy and we're like, yes, I don't want anyone else to use it. But I'm not going to do what it takes to make sure that it's out there. You can't just be holding on to stuff. We can't be hoarders. Once you have that, once you validate your idea, and you can go and value it for your trademark. You can do that. This is what I want you to know. Throughout this presentation, there'll be a few kind of like myths that we're going to bust. And this is the first one that we're going to bust. There is this misunderstanding that your LLC and your domain name, that they're the same thing as a trademark. And that's not true. So you can register your LLC with your state. You can purchase your domain from GoDaddy or Bluehost or whoever, but that does not prevent anyone from going out and getting a trademark or using something same or similar. That business name is just for the state to say, hey, this business has been started in our state. This is who we need to see about collecting taxes and licenses and all those things. That's all it is. You can go to one state and the name is available, and you can go to another state and that same name is available even after someone has. So for example, I'm here in Alabama and someone can have an LLC that's Abundance LLC. in Alabama. And then you can go to Georgia, and somebody in Georgia can also have Abundance LLC. And that's because it's just state-based. It has nothing to do with federal, which is what the trademarks that we're talking about today. We're talking about federal trademark protection. So they have nothing to do with one another. Matter of fact, your business name doesn't have to be the same as your trade name. My business name is Murray Law Group LLC. Y'all don't see that until we get into a contract. When I'm marketing, when I'm promoting my business and my brand, I promote it as Off the Mark. Off the Mark or Off the Mark IP Solutions, one of those two things, because that's the brand that I have and I'm presenting. And that's what's protected. That's what we have the trademark for. I don't have a trademark for Murray Law Group LLC. For what? You can throw a rock and find a Murray Law Group somewhere. So, not the same thing. And this is important as we talk about how to protect your trademark as you. Before you launch, this becomes really important because you need to know what actually, like, what is what you're protecting. If we're talking about trademarks and we're saying that a trademark has to be in use before it actually becomes a trademark, then, that's the rule. If you're not using a trademark in commerce, you don't have a trademark. So you can have the logo, you can have the slogan, you can have the brand name, but if it's not identifying the source of a good or a service, meaning if it's not identifying a podcast or a law firm or coaching business, right? And those things aren't available in commerce, so you can have a podcast, and that can be the name of your podcast, but you haven't launched your podcast yet, or you haven't opened your law firm yet, then you don't have a trademark. That is the rule. That's the rule. Commerce, and this is, I just want you all to know this is very important. Especially as you're registering your trademark, whether you have a trademark, people come to me and they've been in business for years, so they've been using their trademark. And then I ask them, when did you first start using this trademark? And then they want to give me, oh, crap, stop that. They want to give me, oh, well, we opened our website was launched in 2014, but we didn't start seeing clients until 2016. Or I started the LLC in, 2017, but we didn't actually start until 2018. Pre-sales, purchasing the domain, forming an LLC, having a website, none of those things are in commerce. So if you have any of these things attached to a brand identifier, you don't have a trademark, and you need to be careful. And you need to be careful because in the United States, it's first to use, not first to file. If someone sees your brand identifier that you want to use, and you're not using it yet, there's nothing stopping them from using it. You don't have any rights. Going back. Commerce equals available for use in multiple states. That's what we're looking for. But as with everything in the law, because it is the law, there is an exception, right? And that exception is why we're here today. This exception is going to help you breathe easy. And because I understand how it is to be preparing to launch and getting everything together. And then you're like, oh, crap. What if someone beats me to it? What if someone starts using my name before I have a chance to launch? What if, what if, what if? Here's the exception. And it hasn't always been this way, but it's this way now, so we're going to take advantage of it. The exception to actually using the mark in commerce is to prepare what's called an intent to use trademark application. When you file an intent to use, and it's the trademark application, it's just how you designate how you're using the mark in the application. But it's called intent to use. And what it's going to do is provide you priority over anyone who might actually use that brand identifier before you. Meaning that if you're preparing to launch Abundance Boutique, if you file this intent to use application today, February 13th, and someone actually begins using it on February 14th, meaning they open their grand openings on February 14th, you actually have priority over them, meaning that you can tell them that they're infringing on your trademark because you filed this application. Your protection starts from the time your application is filed. Isn't that beautiful? That's like, I don't know. That's like a woo-saw for me. That's like, okay, great. Now I don't have to rush to market. I can take my time and get this done the way that I want to get it done. I don't have to put up, you know, a website or, you know, do anything that is not what I really want to present myself, because I have time to launch now. And it allows you up to 3 years before you actually have to start using it in commerce. So you file an intent to use application. You're going to have priority over anyone who might actually start using the trademark before you. Now, this does not mean, let me tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean that there's someone, maybe Abundance, another Abundance retail store opened, you know, in 2022. And now as you're preparing to launch in 2023, you see this. And you say, oh, well, they don't have a trademark. I'm going to file this intent to use trademark, and then I'm going to tell them that they can't use this trademark anymore because it's mine. Cut it out. You can't do that. Because they were using it before you, and you hadn't filed. So you have no priority. Here are the consequences or the caveat when it comes to intent to use application. This is what you have to understand. One, additional fees do apply. What's going to happen is it's going to go through that same process as an in-use trademark application. But with the in-use application, you have to submit proof that you're using it at the time you file your application. But with this intent to use application, you can't do that because you literally are telling the USPTO office that I'm not using this in commerce yet, but I have a real intent to use it. So you're telling them that you're not using it. So once they go through the process and make sure there are no conflicts and everything of that nature, they're going to issue what's called a notice of allowance, which gives you 6 months to begin using the trademark in commerce. And at that 6 months or before, you need to either file proof that you're using it in commerce or file for an extension. And there are fees associated with that. So additional fees. So it's going to cost you a little bit more money. Their filing fee is, oh, goodness. I'm going to say it's like between $250 and $350 per class. Other thing you have to know when it comes to this intent to use application is you don't have a registered trademark until you begin using your brand identifier in commerce. And you submit that proof to USPTO. Once you submit that proof and they accept it, then they will issue a certificate of registration. If you fail to submit proof, you will lose your priority. If you don't, at that 6 months time, if you don't submit proof or ask for an extension, you don't have, that's the end of it. You don't have a trademark and your application will be abandoned. So those are three things that you need to be aware of when it comes to the intent to use application. And I've gone through a lot. Do y'all have any questions so far? I want to make sure that everyone understands. Here's the application myth. And this is what I want you to not do. There's this this common misconception that you have a website and it constitutes use. And that's not true. So again, people think having the website or the LLC means that I'm actually using it. When you submit your proof that you're using it in commerce, it's going to vary depending on the type of goods or services you have. For example, if you have a clothing business, right, you are in the business of making clothing, t-shirts. Your proof, a website itself is not going to be good enough for proof. You're going to have to show your mark, your trademark. And let me see, I'm going to stop sharing my screen so you can see what I'm trying to show you. So in clothing, you know, there's always they always have this, have like a little tag in the clothing, right? So this is what you're going to need if you have clothing. A website that does not show the clothing with the mark on it is not going to be an acceptable use. It's not going to be an acceptable use. So The website in itself is not everything. You want to make sure that you have the actual right, the right type of proof. So if it doesn't show the trademark, it will not help. Another thing too is if you are, matter of fact, let's just go to the next slide, right? If you file the wrong use, so you have in use, meaning that, hey, I'm using this in commerce right now, and people will file this, one, because they're not aware of the intent to use, two, because they think that having the LLC or the domain or website means that they're using it, or three, they don't want to pay the additional fee. So they will say, hey, I'm using this in commerce, and then they'll put some dates on there that aren't accurate. When you file that application, you are actually stating under oath that the information is correct. And if it's not correct, then it would be perjury. As a service provider, for example, we go back to Sonia's question. Sonia's question is, what would be an appropriate proof if you are a service provider? A website that has a consultation, like, hey, book here, talk to me here, or has your fees on there, just a way for them to actually contact you for this service will be good. Your business card with the trademark, it has to have the trademark on there. So it just can't be your website without the trademark on there, but it has to have your trademark on there. Matter of fact, here we go. I'm gonna give you another example. Let me stop presenting. Let's see if my kid was here. No, that's not gonna work. Here it is. If my kid was here, she knows how to do that whole. How do the YouTube people do it? Is that how the YouTube people do it? I don't know. But can you see? It's not how the YouTube people do it. I know. That's not working. I was trying to show you my business card, and it has our logo on it. It has Off the Mark on it. So it has Off the Mark there. Then on the back, it has our services with our contact information. That will be good proof. Or you can use, and our website has the same thing. So you can use either or. I know, that was so hard. How did the YouTube people do that? I mean, that was very difficult. And I didn't even get it right. Oh, there it is, kind of. Anyway, you see the Off the Mark? And then it has our contact information. I don't know, those YouTube people, they got it going on. That was very hard. I wasn't expecting for it to be that difficult. Okay. So when you sign it, if you've put false information, you're actually committing perjury, and that can be jail time or it can be fines. Now, how often they actually do that, I'm not sure, but that's on there. Like, it's literally on there that you can be, it's punishable by jail time or fines. And okay, let's say that, hey, they're not locking people up and making them pay extra money. So what's the big deal? The other consequence, and the biggest consequence, in my opinion, is that your application can be voided. Like, you never filed it. Like, you have no protection at all because you lied on it. So if we go back to Abundance Boutique, right? Let's say you decided to file your application this month as in use, but you don't launch until June. In the meantime, another Abundance retail store opens up in March. And they also file an application, and theirs is in use. Your application is going to stop their application from moving forward because USPTO is going to look and be like, oh, you can't register until we see what's going on with this one. If the trademark attorney does their homework and sees that, hey, this application in use date says February 13th, but Facebook and everywhere else says that they didn't open until March 13th, they can actually file an objection to your application if it hadn't registered yet, so that it can be, and just say that, hey, you lied, and it should be voided, like it never happened. Or if you do have a registered trademark, let's say you get through everything and you get the certificate, they can say, hey, you know what? These people lied on their application. it should be voided, like it never happened, and now you lose your registration, and the other people can go ahead and move forward. So, but that's why we have the intent to use, so you don't have to go through that. You don't have to lie. You might have to pay a little bit more money, and it might take you longer. That's another thing, too. People want it quick. People don't want to wait, but they don't understand that the waiting is intentional because there is no trademark if you're not providing a good or service in commerce. So if you're not providing in commerce, you're not going to get this trademark certificate. You have to wait until you're actually using it in commerce to get the trademark. Like, you can't rush the process. What's the purpose of having a trademark certificate that's not accurate, that's void, that's really just a piece of paper because it has no authority because you lied on the application? Okay, y'all don't, okay. And if I understand that we are over time, I apologize. But we're gonna keep it moving. If you have to go, the replay will be available. But this is what I want you to know. Post-registration. So you have your, now you know how to protect your trademark before you launch. You're gonna file an intent to use application, which is gonna give you time to get everything together. Once you get your notice of allowance, you're gonna submit proof to USPTO that you're using this trademark in commerce. And then in another few weeks, they're going to issue a certificate. And you're like, yes, I have the certificate of registration. But here's the next thing. You want to make sure that you are monitoring your trademark to make sure that there are no one's out there trying to use your trademark. Because if you don't, what happen is if you have too many people using your same or similar trademark, then your trademark no longer identifies you as a source of a good or a service because there's so many other people using the same thing. Does that make sense? I hope it does. You want to monitor it to make sure that people are using it right. I just thought, and this is my, like, this is one of my favorite videos on YouTube. If you Google Velcro trademark attorneys, they have a cute little video saying, hey, everything is not Velcro. Just because it sticks together like that doesn't mean it's Velcro. Velcro is a brand. So what they're doing is monitoring and making sure that people are actually using their trademark in the right way. Down here in the South, they call all sodas Coke. It can be a Pepsi. It can be a Mountain Dew, but they're going to refer to it as a Coke. And that's not good for Coca-Cola's brand because all drinks are not Cokes. They can risk their trademark becoming generic if people start referring to all drinks as Coke. So you want to monitor your trademark. And then if you see an infringing mark, you want to enforce your rights. Do not let people tell you that, you know, that enforcing your rights is doing too much. Don't let them tell you that. And the other thing you want to do is, this is really important. You want to keep your trademark accurate by deleting unused goods and services. And we're going to just hang out here for just a second. When it comes to, and this is new, this happened in 2017, USPTO decided to do a post-registration audit program. And they wanted to keep the integrity of the trademark registry, keep it up, because what was happening was someone will file a trademark application and they will file it for clothing. And in clothing, they will say they're doing t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, socks, hats, and all the things. But then what will happen is they end up only selling t-shirts. Remember, your trademark protection is only good for how you use it. So now you're not doing all these other things, but it's preventing other people from using a similar mark. For maybe socks. Maybe you're doing t-shirts and somebody wants to do dress socks, but you have socks in your application, so now they can't do dress socks, which wouldn't be, you know, too much of a conflict depending on how the trademarks actually look, right? But they can't use it at all because you said that you're using it. So what the trademark office wants to do is basically just clean it up. So what they're doing is once you file your maintenance, which with trademarks, your protection lasts as long as you use it, but you do have to submit proof that you're actually using it in commerce. The first maintenance is due between year 5 and 6, and then it's going to be 10 years after registration, and then every 10 years after that. So between that first maintenance, that 5 year five and six, they're going to look at your application. They're going to pull your application. And this, they don't pull everyone's application. They're just random, right? Quote unquote random. And they're going to look and say, hey, so this person has clothing and they have like eight things in here. I need you to give me proof that you're using it for socks and that you're using it for t-shirts. If you cannot submit proof that you're actually using this trademark for socks and t-shirts, then they will have you, you're going to have to pay money. You're going to have to delete the goods that you're not actually using. So let's say you're using t-shirts, but not socks. So you'll be able to submit proof of t-shirts, but then you have to delete the socks because you're not actually using it. And when they, I just wrote a blog post about this. Since the audit has started, I want to say that they've done 300. You know what? I don't have to guess. They've done basically 50% of the registrations that they've audited have had to delete goods. So, and they, that means they've had to pay money to have those done. It's $250 per deleted good if you do it at the time of the audit. Now, if you do it beforehand, which is why I'm saying keeping your trademark accurate, let's say you know that, you know what, I am no longer, you know, this is, I had a boutique and I had a coaching business and I just don't feel like doing coaching anymore. Like, it's not for me. And so now you delete that class off your application before the audit. And that way you don't pay any money if you do it beforehand. And if you do get audited, you're straight. You're good. You only have to pay money if you have to delete something. That makes sense? And we're going to talk about this a little bit longer. I know I mentioned it before, but like, enforce your rights. That's why you invest this money. You invest your money because you don't want anybody else using your name or something similar to it. And the reason you don't want that is because you spent time building up your reputation, because that's what a brand is. You know, people say, oh, I need a logo. No, a brand is not a logo. That logo identifies your brand, but your brand is how you show up for your customers. Your brand is how you present yourself. When people talk about you, what are they saying? What can they expect by working with you? That's your brand. And what you're protecting is, matter of fact, I had someone call, they sell hair. And someone was using a name that was similar to theirs, but they weren't selling the same quality of hair, and they didn't have the same level of customer service and packaging. So now when people talk about her, they're also talking about this other company because they confuse the two, which is bringing down her ratings and her income. Enforcing your rights is not you doing too much. And there's a couple of different ways that you, what enforcement looks like. So the first step, excuse me, can simply be, you know, send them a DM or an email saying, hey, you're using our property without our consent. Like, you don't have our permission to use this trademark, and people are confusing the two of us. A lot of times people don't know and they're back off. Sometimes they won't. And when they don't, that's when you say, hey, Attorney Murray, I need to hire you to send a cease and desist. A lot of times they're more likely to respond to a cease and desist, and we're able to negotiate like when that end use will be, what they do with the rest of their product and things of that nature. Sometimes they don't. And if that's the case, you need to be prepared to litigate and make sure that you get these people to stop using your intellectual property. All right. So are you ready to get started? If you're ready to get started, people always want to know, like, how much does this thing cost? Our fees vary and they depend on your needs, but they do start at $2,500. You can contact our office, get started at hello@offthemarkipsolutions.com. We do offer payment plans through Affirm. I don't know if you're familiar with Affirm, but our clients have been loving that option. It allows you to take that payment and break it into smaller payments over multiple months. So that's an option for you. And finally, questions. Give me all your questions. Give me all your questions. Let me stop my share. There we go. Give me all your questions. Thank you very much, Sonia. I appreciate you. I'm glad that the information was good and it was clear. Because that is one of the things when you're communicating, it's a lot of information, right? We want to make sure that you understand it. And so I'm glad that you were able to understand it and it was useful for you. Let's see. Jasmine has a great question. Does each class have its own trademark? No. So that's a good question. So you can have your trademark. So basically you're going to have your trademark and it's going to have multiple classes. So we filed one for Mark Legal. I think we filed in two or three classes. We filed for like educational website. I can't remember, but multiple classes, but it's the same, but it's one trademark application, but they do charge a fee for each class, but it's cheaper than filing multiple trademarks. So your trademark application will have like class 25 for clothes, class, 35 for retail, class, and those multiple classes. Let's see. Sonia wants to know, she says, I tried to file a trademark for a product name, but it was declined because it was too common. Do you get that often? We do get it. We don't get it often because we do our trademark clearance search in the beginning. But just because they say that it's, because it's too common. If you're able to show that it's not as common as it relates to this service, then you might be able to, but I'm thinking of the mind of Taco Tuesday for LeBron James. He wanted to have a podcast called Taco Tuesday. And the challenge with using things that are too common, and I tell you this all the time, I don't believe in getting trademarks for fads, things that are popular, like someone to say that, this is a really popular term, so I'm going to go and get a trademark for it because everyone's using, people on fleek, right? And the reason I don't recommend that is because people won't associate on fleek with your brand. It's just something that's real trendy. I believe that you can create a brand that has a way to monetize and take advantage of that being popular, but you don't have to necessarily build a brand around something that's trendy or common or popular. Because remember, the third thing, if we go back to the slides, one of the things was it has to be unique to the market. So it needs to be something that's unique. How do you know what the classes are? I know there is a, one, I have a cheat sheet somewhere. And two, somewhere on USPTO's website, there is a manual with all the classes. Retail being all things sold. Yes, but retail, all things sold is not. So let's put it this way. You can have a retail store that sells auto parts, and you can have one with a similar name that sells beauty supplies. Because what they're selling is not related, then they'll probably both have the same name or similar name. Well, Sonia, if you want to have me look at it and want to try again, I'm definitely happy to help you. If you contact my office, she'll schedule you for a discovery call so I can learn more about your needs, and then we can get started with trademark services if you choose. Good. I'm glad that makes sense. Well, I appreciate you for showing up live. We are over time. And I knew it. I when I was doing this, I was like, this is a lot of information to put in 30 minutes. But I felt like it was necessary to, you can't just talk about how to protect your trademark before you launch without talking about the before and the after. You're so welcome, Sonia. Thank you. Thank you. Yay. 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 Perfect. 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 Again, if you need me, I'm here. I appreciate you coming live. This replay will be up on Thursday. All right. And if you need me, I'll put this. I don't know. Are we connected on social media? Let's see. There. That's the email if you want to talk to my assistant to schedule a time to talk with me. All right. Right.
Let's take this conversation over to the Mark Legal community. I want you to share this episode with three people and have them meet you there.
But you know what to do before you go. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and rate the podcast. Until next week, I want you to keep building your business, growing your brand, and owning your genius.